Hey, Anna, we often at the observatory get confused with the planetarium, right? You know this.
Yes.
Now, of course, one of the main things about planetariums, at least the last one that was in Cincinnati downtown, they mm-hmm. also were famous or infamous, depending on who you ask, for showing laser light shows. And so this kind of marriage of astronomy and Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin. I don't know.
The soundtrack.
Do you have any opinions on this laser light show infesting the planetarium world?
What was the what were the laser lights? Were they making formations of things, or were they just like, really?
Well, so you sit back.
Because so far I'm into it. Actually,
you sit back in these comfy seats, and they turn off the lights, and then they just these laser lights while they're playing Floyd and Zeppelin and all this stuff like that. And
it sounds a little trippy.
Yeah, exactly.
Without elaborating.
So I'd say you were in favor or
yes, I think
anti.
We should do it at the observatory.
Oh.
It'd be fun.
Well, I was surprised. I thought maybe you'd think it was cheesy or something like that.
Cheesy, amazing.
All right. Well, I think it's cheesy.
I knew it. You just wanted me to say it was cheesy. And then you'd be like, yeah, it is kind of cheesy.
I want to be contrarian. Yes. that's for sure.
It sounds like so fun. What's wrong with that?
It's one of those things that the planetariums are trying to figure out ways to get people hooked on stuff. And so it's so among the astronomy community, we call it edutainment.
Are you serious? Did you mash up the words education and entertainment?
I wish I could take credit for
it. Is this you?
It is not me. No, it is.
Edutainment?
I know. I wish I could trademark it. But and so the planetarium people, that is like offensive talk. You're like, oh, you're borderline a movie theater. That's what we're saying.
Oh, snap.
Exactly. So we got this whole rivalry going on here. So it's a...
rank it in terms of your rivalry with astrology.
Oh, they're not even in the same ball. This is like mild amusement. This is like a two.
This is like passing amusement.
But the planetarium people, yeah, I'm on their list. You got to watch out.
Oh, my God. It's great.
Sorry, all you planetarium people. From the studios of Cincinnati Public Radio, I'm Dean Regas, and this is Looking Up.
And I'm Anna Heeman. We're both from the Cincinnati Observatory, where Dean is the astronomer and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers, and I'm asking the hard questions. In this episode, we get to meet Josiah Wolf from the band Y. It's their music you hear on all of our episodes, but also Josiah is an amateur astronomer who created Spacewalk, a 3.5 billion to 1 scale model of the solar system. Okay, so laser light show, I don't understand. What about those words is not amazing? I think we should do it.
Laser and light and show. Okay, maybe I'll come around on this.
I don't know about the music, though. Why is it like 70 when you could do...
Well, you know, because I guess they're appealing to a certain demographic. I think we need to do some modern stuff with bands that I've never heard of. I mean, that's what they should do.
You can't blame them because they couldn't pick a band. You know, like three bands.
Yeah, exactly.
Including that one band that you follow around. Well, that's the story for another time.
That's right.
Are you it?
That's right.
I forgot about that.
So I think what we were going to talk about today is all the different astronomically themed, you know, public spaces and places that people can go. Because, yeah, it is true. Observatory versus planetarium. What is the difference?
Versus conservatory.
That's the battle we fight daily. And so, I mean, we get these calls. They're like, so you guys got a planetarium there? We're like, no, we're the observatory. And they're like, well, yeah, so you got a planetarium. I was like, no, it's an observatory. And so the big difference is for everybody to know is a planetarium is a place where, yeah, you sit under the dome and they put these stars, the light turn on lights and those are imitation stars on the ceiling. And
okay, you said imitation with like a touch of snobbery.
Because guess what I'm going to say for the next part? Yeah. And an observatory is a place where you see the real stars. Exactly.
And I don't just mean Dean Regas.
Exactly.
I don't know.
You get to see all the stars up the sky.
The real one. And planets.
Then planets and the moon.
And the moon and clusters.
All sorts of stuff.
That's a thing, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
So yeah, the planetarium is all simulated. So that's the fake stuff. And then we show you the real stuff with big telescopes. Now, I mean, both have their, you know, I mean, I love going to planetariums. It's a great place to learn because, number one, at least in Cincinnati, it's cloudy 40% of the time. That's so true. You come and you can't see any stars. Planetarium, guaranteed stars, that's for sure, unless the bulb needs changing. But otherwise, it's good to go.
And, you know, you can't escape is the fact that you got your start in a planetarium.
That's true. I know. My heart still belongs to the Wolf Planetarium in Burnett Woods here by the University of Cincinnati. That's where I started. My first astronomy talk was under the dome. And
that's nice.
It's a cool little planetarium. I love it. Then go back to visit whenever I can. And
they're like, oh my God, Dean Regas is here. Oh my gosh.
Right.
I don't know.
They're like, hey, stop touching that machine. That's what they're saying.
You don't work here anymore.
Yeah, you don't work here anymore. We changed the locks.
Oh man.
But I have to say, unfortunately, one of the other things that people call up for is they want to know where the plant show is.
The
they
butterfly show.
They
want to
know
show.
Where the conservatory right. is. And yes, so conservatory and observatory, totally different things.
That's right. Although every time I hear conservatory, you know what I think of?
Yes, you think of
the game Clue.
Exactly.
And like a candlestick and a rope or whatever.
So why isn't there an observatory in the game Clue? We need.
That's true. If that house was really a mansion, it would have its own observatory.
I think we could just see the observatory, since the observatory make its own Clue game with all the rooms as the nine rooms in Clue, and you could play as if you're at the observatory.
Okay, but who's getting murdered? I am not down for that.
Let's pick one of the older astronomers.
Pluto. Yeah. Pluto got
Pluto. Who killed Pluto? And with what?
That is not even edutainment. That is just like smart.
Yeah, you can be Neil deGrasse Tyson. You could be Mike Brown. You could be Clyde Tombaugh, who discovered Pluto.
That's right.
You could be why am I blacking out on the guys? Alan Stern.
Alan Stern. Oh yeah, he's have some things to say.
Oh, that's who killed Pluto? Clue game at the observatory. Mark it down.
I'm doing it. I'm writing it down. It's gonna happen. It's gonna be amazing.
Now, so in addition to those places, of course, there's science centers, there's museums, there's lots of other places that do these things. But I think one part of this that maybe people don't know about is all the amateur astronomy clubs that are around the country. Pretty much every major city has an amateur astronomy club, and the kind of the line between amateur and professional is pretty fuzzy. Like, these amateur astronomers are like legit. They know their stuff. They have some super awesome equipment. And I think the big thing about them is that they are a little more public friendly than some of the professional observatories. Like, they love talking about it, and anybody can join an astronomy club. And you've met some of our amateur astronomers.
Oh yeah,
and very welcoming, very talkative.
Love talking about it.
And so it's pretty awesome.
I think they're trying to recruit me.
Really?
They can tell that I have a keen mind.
I think so. That's right. You'd be in the younger demographic of the general astronomy club.
Thank you, because earlier today you were insinuating that I was old, which was not cool. But yeah, I would be like a cool young astronomer, a hip astronomer.
Yeah, I mean that is a plus. If you're under 50, and you go to an astronomy club meeting, they will be like, "Whoa, who's this? Oh,
no, who's this youngin?"
If you like attention, this is a good way.
I don't hate it.
But I really highly encourage folks, wherever you live, check out what the amateur astronomy clubs are around, and because they usually do some really cool stuff, and good place to tag in to find some. And any astronomical events coming up, that's really cool to check out. So, and then, of course, if you really want to get into it, you go to space camps. So these are like at these NASA centers where you can go and spend
as
weeks.
An adult?
As an adult. I went. It's
Dean.
You get to like go on the arm of the space shuttle.
You is
get
this where
to,
you like, got do, that suit thing?
Yeah, that's where I got my flight suit. Yeah, I know. You get a flight suit that you keep for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great way to like, you know, if you can't go into space, to at least pretend a little bit. And you get treated like an astronaut. And you also sometimes get to meet astronauts too.
Ooh.
Yep.
Did you get to meet any astronauts?
No, not that time. But
you're really selling this. No, I like the spacesuit idea though. And I like the idea that you get to like do some of the stuff but not actually have to be rocketed into space.
Right.
That sounds amazing.
That
actually
would be the scary part.
But I still think we should do a day camp at the observatory. We have these day camps that are so fun for kids. We should invite adults to come out.
So it could be like they do the baseball fantasy camps. You can be like astronomy fantasy camps.
It'll be exactly like that.
Live like Dean Regas and Anna Heeman for a week.
Mostly Dean. It's going to be interesting.
That would be great, because then they'll do our jobs for us. this and we could just...
Oh, we could take the week off.
Yeah, we could just sit in the chair, the lawn chairs, and be like, yeah, keep looking up.
That's right.
Keep looking up.
You're doing a great job.
Great job. Keep looking up.
That's right. Stand in, Dean. You're doing amazing.
And then your catchphrase would be...
What's my catchphrase going to be?
Shut up, Dean.
Okay, if anything I say... Okay, I say shut up, Dean. I say it in a nice way, though,
that's
like friends
true.
Do.
That's true. Oh,
like, you're fine.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth. Quiet. A little sastronomy coming
and then
out.
And I say, keep looking up.
Keep looking up.
You hear the music from the band Y during every episode of Looking Up. And so today we have one of the musicians, Josiah Wolf, and he's more than just a musician. He is a myriad of interests, and one of his interests is astronomy. So we're so excited to have him in the studio with us today. Josiah, thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Well, so how do you, you have this these kind of like multiple disciplines you're interested in. How do you like combine your love of astronomy with art, music, the whole thing?
Well... It's very difficult. No. It just naturally happened. I think putting those things together just was the way it had to be.
Was there something about the stars or the universe that's kind of inspires you that way?
Well, I think obviously music was first. Maybe that's not obvious, but...
No, because space is first for me. So
space is my new love, and not just space, but... You know, science in general. I can't say exactly why it happened, but maybe 7 years ago, my curiosity just began to run away from me, and I wanted to learn as much as I could. And astronomy kind of was the main direction, but all the sub, things that go along with that, quantum physics, whatever it is. I just started reading about all that stuff, and like, wow, this is amazing. What we know about the universe is crazy.
Mm-hmm. And what we don't know.
And what we don't know is even crazier.
Right?
But anyway, but how was I going to make that part of my life? I'm not going to be an astronomer as much as I would love to do that. I'm 43. I'm not going to go back to school and do that. It's crazy, right? I mean, you're living the life.
That's true. It's true. It's very glamorous.
So even very glamorous.
Even seeing this side of it, you still won't go back to school for it. Okay. Well, yeah.
But it's tough schooling. So the math, you got to get the math down. But I don't know. I love art. I love music. So I thought, well, I like to kind of think about bringing people into a space where you can be awed by sounds and lights, but there's some meaning behind all of it, So I guess that's where my work, kind of comes in, I suppose.
Oh.
Yeah.
So tell us about the band.
Yeah. So
this is exciting.
The listeners of Looking Up might or might not know, our band Y is your theme music.
Has been for the first 2 years. That's right. That's great.
And I love it.
It works well, yeah. I think it's a good pairing. Y is a band I'm in with my brother. It's kind of his baby. He started it back in 2002. Even before that he was doing stuff. The first record was released in 2003, so that's 16 years ago.
Yeah.
We've been touring since, off and on, releasing records. We're on our seventh record, I believe, we're putting out in August and doing another tour, doing it again. And it's been a good run. We've traveled the world doing that, gone places I wouldn't have gone otherwise, I would say. And it's been fun.
Oh, very cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, and so then on the side, you have this idea of having a scale solar system, a spacewalk right here in the heart of the city. Tell us about how that came about and a little bit about it.
Yeah, that was my first of, I guess, three, what I call my astronomical artwork is kind of the term I've... Very creative. That one came about because it's weird. I in elementary school, I never did the kind of thing where your teacher says, okay, if this were the sun, how big would the earth be? And then how far away would the earth? We never did that. And I just kind of thought of it, on my own. I was like, well, I wonder, that'd be cool to kind of lay it all out in a line, to just kind of visualize it. Because you can't really do that on the internet. It's one thing you can't really get that scale in your head. So I just got a paper lantern and, looked up how big things were. Like, okay, if this were the sun, the earth would be this size and it would be over here. Then I thought, well, it'd be kind of cool to actually make models of them and put little lights on them and that glow at night. So I built one with my wife's help, and I would set it up in parks. It was 3/4 of a mile long. And I would just bring my friends out and I'd start at the sun and just, you know, tell them things that I've learned. Basic, it started pretty basic. And as I learned more and more, you know, I still keep the tour pretty, you know, I'm not trying to go crazy on information, but it's just about walking from one to the next and kind of sensing that scale. Later, of course, found out these exist in many cities, you know, they're around. But, and there are some really big ones in Europe that go miles and miles, you know, I think the largest one would be hundreds of miles long.
Yeah, but this is one of the best ones in the city, that's for sure. And it's kind of an urban location. Yeah. It's right next to the Mill Creek, and it's in a park. And so, yeah, have you seen people using it?
Like, yeah,
I did. How's the reaction been?
Do you walk up and you're like, I did this?
You know, I love going there. I've kind of gotten lazy going there. I need to go back and fix some paint. It's gotten a little run down by the real sun, actually, has kind of burnt things up a
bit.
The
irony.
Yes, I know. It's horrible.
Jeez.
So, yeah, that particular one, I got a grant from People's Liberty and ended up building that one with a lot of people's help. And yeah, I love going there. I like to go there and just see kids looking at it. It's like, this is cool that this is here, you know? It feels good.
I can't imagine it, one that's hundreds of miles. Like, you just be driving and stumble upon, like, Jupiter. That'd be weird.
That's
like, if you didn't have a frame of reference, whatever. I mean, I think that's
great. Kind of cool, though. I like that idea. But
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the scale on it is, what's the scale for yours?
Oh, again? It's 3.5 billion to 1, so pretty... Yeah. So the sun is like 16 inches in diameter.
Man.
Yes. And I think with these planet walks, the thing that, you know, people, it really strikes them is, you know, you see the inner planets. So Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars are all relatively close to the sun.
Yep.
And then you go to Jupiter, which is a pretty good hop, skip, and a jump. And then you like double that distance to go to Saturn. And then you double that again. And pretty soon you start to see how much empty space
there
really
spreading
is.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then my favorite part is after we see Neptune and everyone asks about Pluto and then...
Just took my next question.
I'm sorry. Question. But then I like to talk about what's out after that. Where is the Kuiper Belt and where is the Voyager right now in relation to Cincinnati? You know.
So like Anna has a very important question here.
That's right. I want to know if Pluto's on the spacewalk.
Okay, so it's not. And part of that was
shut it down. Shut this down.
Well, part of it was financial, and also
really
Pluto would be just too small almost because I did include the 7 large moons. I built a little arm of Jupiter's moons come out like. Psh,
that's adorable.
I've only put it on
Jupiter.
I only put it on when I do tours.
Okay.
But Pluto, as I'm sure you know, is smaller than all those moons, and it would be so little.
Stop nodding, Dean. It's so annoying.
To scale. But I would have done it. Part of it was just
you would have done it.
I ran out of money. I couldn't afford another one.
That I can understand, but just being like, it isn't a thing.
Well, no, Pluto's great. You know,
Pluto's amazing.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, all the, Dean, it's 2 against 1 here.
Oh, this is just how I like it. It's perfect.
you can
come back anytime.
Yeah, thank you.
My God.
Then I got to put Ceres in there. And then, I mean, next thing I know, I'm putting little dwarf planets everywhere.
This is basically Dean's excuse for why it's not a planet. Because he's like, oh, there's too many. It's like, no, it was a thick, whatever. It's fine. I don't care. Yeah.
I've never heard it put those a financial decision. That's a new one.
That's
I'm pretty much you're going to take it. It's it's important, whatever.
We'll take it.
I forgive you. He said, it's all right. Not you. I forgive Josiah. Oh, okay. I'm still annoyed with about it.
So how can our listeners find out more about the why and the spacewalk?
Well, why? They can, of course, we have our Instagram and Facebook and everything. It is spelled out why with a question mark. Like you have, it's not actual, like WHYWITHAQU, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. So,
why with the question mark .com is our website. My personal website with this astronomical art, a couple of music things on there as well, is josiahwolf.com, just my name. And it's been fun doing this stuff. Yeah. I'll briefly tell you the other one. I won't keep it too long. My newest one is, it's more performance oriented. It's called One Plutonian Year. And basically you have 8 or 9, this one has Pluto.
Okay.
The whole thing is based around Pluto.
Sold.
So it condenses a Plutonian year, which is like 248 Earth years, I think, down to 30 minutes, okay?
Ooh.
And then you see all the other things that go on in that time. But it's all musical and lights. So someone's performing Jupiter.
Sounds amazing.
And when Jupiter comes in, it's like, it's really big. And then,
are you serious?
Yeah, one guy playing Mercury just plays the marimba every second and a half. you know, so it's all these, and there's lights that go along with the sound. So it just kind of, it almost sounds really like a minimalist, you know, like Steve Reich or these kind of composers you've heard. It's like minimalist classical music. It sounds kind of like that, where very repetitive cycles coming in and out, different sounds, and people sit under it. I built this 20-foot by 20-foot grid where the planets just go around at different, and so Pluto starts in the outer and takes 30 minutes to go all the way around
and
the room.
And it's lights?
Yeah, those are LED
this
strip
lights. This
sounds
really fun, actually. So,
this one's cool. Yeah, I need to, I've only performed it twice, once with kids and once with adults.
Dean, this is right up your alley. You look a little threatened. Are you threatened that Josiah is going to like take your gig?
I was hoping that
Pluto... Was this your... Did you have...
No, just teaching and astronomy in general.
I was just hoping that Pluto wasn't actually in the
Dean,
Pluto.
It's called one Plutonian year. Well, it's not called one Mercurial year.
He was hoping.
That would have been so funny.
He was hoping against hope.
That would have been more better. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Well, this is... We'll put a link to that because I think we saw it on the website.
Cool.
So people can see that.
That's right. We did see it on the site.
In action. And maybe you can perform it over at the observatory sometime.
I would love to.
Cool.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome. This has to happen.
Yeah. That'd be great.
And thanks again for lending your song to our podcast.
Yeah,
we
are
very happy. We love that it's part of it. So we love it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah,
it's
thank
fun.
You guys. This is
thank
great.
You.
Yep, keep doing it.
Okay, we're debuting a new segment on our podcast. And I would say the title is shaky, but I'm just going to give the description first.
Say it with confidence.
Say it with confidence. Okay, that's right. If you say anything with confidence, people will just leave you alone. That's true. So we've all seen them. Social media posts about some crazy astronomical happening, supposedly. Mm-hmm. I'm putting horns around it. Nobody can see that.
Yep.
Mars is going to be like the same size as Earth or whatever. The pink wolf blood... strawberry harvest moon thingies, whatever. And some of those are legit. They just have different names, maybe. But we have to separate fact from fiction.
Absolutely.
And astrology creeps in sometimes, and I see people posting things, and I desperately want to be like, this is not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been getting on my feeds too. Like in the morning, I check the news. It's like, here's an astronomy article for you. And I'm like,
you're like, no.
No, it's not.
You can print it out and rip it up.
So you got a few. And so the title of this segment.
Oh, yeah. So it's going to be social media mysteries.
Social media mysteries.
Every time I say the title, you have to do that.
That's right.
I also wanted to include the word debunking. But anyway, the point is right now we're doing social media mysteries.
Social media mysteries.
Okay. That was great. All right. So, Dean. Now, maybe, what if I ask you and you're like, that's totally a thing?
We'll find
And then I feel like a jerk.
Yeah.
But it's possible.
Yeah, let's
I'll
see
say,
what
shut
got.
Up, Dean. Okay. So, on June 3rd, so I'm sorry, it's earlier in the summer, we'll say.
Yeah.
There was supposedly, supposedly, a new moon that was going to be about fortune.
Okay.
First of all. So, it was the reason it was supposed to be about fortune was that there's the lunar cycle, and that the moon was going to join a fixed star called
Aldebaran.
Aldebaran, the eye of the bull.
Right.
And it's in the season of Gemini.
Oh.
Which are twins.
Well, now we're talking.
Yeah. Are we?
No. So far, you got something that happens every
so,
year.
So does that happen? So first of all, some of these things actually take astronomical facts.
Right,
sorry.
Right.
But then they just put stuff with them that's not true. So
exactly.
Is it going to be a fixed star called Aldebaran?
Yes. So
that's a thing then.
Yeah. So
they just made it up.
Aldebaran, along with several other really bright stars, were on this thing called the ecliptic. This is like the imaginary line that all the planets, the sun, the moon, seem to go through. So like, they go through like the zodiac constellation. So you got your Taurus and Aries and Gemini and all that. So every month the moon passes by Aldebaran, like clockwork.
So just monthly.
Every month. So now. every once a year, a new moon will go by Aldebaran.
Uh-huh.
And then, so, all right, that's somewhat rare, but
okay.
But so what? So Aldebaran is the eye of Taurus the bull. Nice, nice constellation, nice star.
Okay.
I like that star. I mean,
that's
it's like
as far as it goes.
Star Wars took that planet Alderaan from that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was wondering.
And,
yeah.
So, but yeah, but so then they're saying what happens because of that?
Prosperity, obviously.
Wow. So
that's all it takes.
So June 3rd, they said, yeah, when the new moon happened, it goes by.
Oh, and balance and harmony.
Balance and harmony. Yeah. So June 3rd, everybody, look at your diaries and catalogs and say, look at your bank accounts because
yeah.
June 3rd was supposed to be fortune, prosperity, and what was the other one?
Harmony.
Harmony, right.
Balance.
So, yeah. So June 3rd, everybody's bank account suddenly got bigger for some astronomical reason. Yes.
Just plumped right up. Like,
so,
look at that.
Yep. So,
well,
nope. This one is a, yeah, this does happen and it's every year, but what does it have to do with money? Nothing.
All right. Well, do you want to do another one?
Yeah, sure.
Why
not?
You're like, I'd love to be right again. That sounds great.
Yeah,
because
that was easy.
That was easy. Okay. So this one,
okay.
I just pointed very, right. Okay, is about a full strawberry moon.
Full strawberry moon. Yep.
Is it? Okay. So that's a thing.
That is a thing.
We're supposed to be in for a massive energy shift.
Ooh.
Because the planets have positioned themselves in a way that leads to a massive energy shift.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because if they're in certain kind of configurations, like you could, if you get a planet, you know, get the planets in a square, that's something. If you get
okay.
the planets in a triangle, it's something. If you get some planets in a hexagon, that's something. Yeah, so
it's interesting,
right? So they look like they're in a square, but they're really not. And so what? And like, you know, that's how the planets are. They always like wander around. And so yeah, this one was the part that was right was yes, the moon and the full moon in June is often called the strawberry moon. It's sometimes called the rose moon, depends on
that's
which
pretty.
Country. Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yes.
It doesn't actually turn a strawberry color.
Oh.
It's just like, let's get the strawberries in. Let's get the roses in.
Oh, see, that's misleading. It makes it seem like it's going to be pink or something cool.
Yeah. And then July's full moon is the buck moon. For when the antlers start coming out of the deer.
Oh, yeah.
The August one is the sturgeon moon because, yeah, I mean, let's get some sturgeon here.
I was going to say, is why? Okay.
Right? And then, but more the more famous ones are like in September or October is called the harvest moon, and then there's the hunter's moon.
Great
so
song.
Each month is just, you know, one of those.
Oh.
But it does seem to be a thing that's come up now is that all of a sudden every month we're getting that full moon name and people are kind of going nuts over it. But yeah, associating that with the entire world getting fortune and fame and yeah. I saw some that was like, oh yeah, so here's some things to do on the full moon and some things not to do on the full moon.
Oh yeah. And so what was on the list of
number,
what to do?
Number
not to
one
do.
Was like, you know, take stock of your inventory, you know. And then another one was and then the things don't do or don't sweat the small stuff. I'm like, yeah, well, I do that even when there's not a full
you're
moon.
You're like,
So what does the moon have to do with
seems
that?
Seems scientific.
Yeah. So, yeah, do watch your media feeds. And, and if you find any, like, weird articles that pop up.
Oh, my God,
that you're like,
us.
That they're supposed to be astronomical, but they're not, send them to us because then we'll put it on our new segment called
Social Media Mysteries. That's it for this episode of Looking Up. Thanks so much to Josiah Wolf for joining us today. We have links to Wise Music and more at our website, wvxu.org/lookingup.
And thank you for listening. You know, we're all ears here, so we'd love to get your ideas for guests or topics or any questions you or your kids may have about space, astronomy, and science. You can drop us a note on Facebook or Twitter or email us at lookingup@wvxu.org.
Parents, while the kids are on summer break, we hope you'll introduce them to Looking Up. For those car trips or rainy days, we think they'll have a great time listening and maybe even pick up a bit of knowledge.
You can subscribe to Looking Up wherever you listen to podcasts, and please give us a rating and comment on Apple Podcasts. If you're new to Looking Up, you can always find all of our past episodes at wvxu.org/lookingup.
The theme song and additional music is provided by Why. That's my band. Why with a question mark, from our album, Moline, courtesy of Joyful Noise Recordings and Terror Bird Media.
Looking Up is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kevin Reynolds is our producer, Josh Elstro is our engineer, and Jim Nolan provides additional technical assistance.
Thanks so much for listening. I'm Anna Heeman.
And I'm Dean Regas. Keep looking up.